Praise God. Here we are again at Watchman School of Prayer. And this is class number 5. And it is called Hindrances to Prayer. Class number 5, Hindrances to Prayer. And before we start, what we're going to do is we are going to say our scripture, which is the theme of
the Watchman School of Prayer, Jeremiah 51:12. And let's say it together. And go. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong, set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes. Now, everyone sitting here, and you that are watching by video or on audio, you are all watchmen. And God is raising you up to be a watchman over what? Babylon is a type and shadow of the world system. And we are to be watchmen. So even when you hear the news, and I do this, when I listen to the news, and I share with you this before, God will quicken something to you. Something could be happening in a whole other country, and it may just be up to you and your prayers that could save someone. This past week, I happened to tune into something, and there were these missionaries, and I really did not even know about this. They were captured a year ago and held by Muslims in the Philippines, and they have not been let go. And I began to start praying for them, and I also told some of our leadership to start praying. So a watchman is someone, it's not just for our own personal, you know, selfish benefit. Yes, of course, we want to know how to pray effectually for our own families. But a watchman is someone who prays and has an outlook for God in the world. Amen? Now, tonight, we're talking about, in this class, hindrances to prayer. So what we want to do here is we're going to start with some foundation on this. Let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And in James chapter 5, we're going to look at a very, very important scripture in James 5 and in verse 16. James 5, 16. There are three things that cause prayers to avail much, and we're going to see these three things in this scripture. And let's read the scripture together in verse 16, 1, 2, 3, read. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now I want to key in on this last section. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You may want to underline that. And the word fervent right here in your Bible, in your word, actually means white, hot, earnest, to boil over. White, hot, earnest, to boil over. And this is the kind of prayer that says avails much. So we see three areas here that cause prayers to avail. What does avail mean? That means that they really take hold. The first area is effectual. Prayers have to be effectual. The second area is they have to be fervent. And the third is they have to come from a righteous person. Now we're going to look at these three areas very briefly. All right? Now, praying effectively. Now we talked about this in the last couple of sessions to some degree. And when you pray effectively, it means to pray correctly. Many times when you're not receiving answers to your prayers, it's probably because you're not praying correctly. And we talked about last session, in the last couple of sessions, about when you don't know what to pray, you need to ask the Spirit of God, you ask for wisdom. Because maybe you're praying incorrectly. So that's what effectual means. And we also see in the scripture, and I've talked to you about this the last time, in the last couple of sessions, in Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then the Amplified, the scripture says, to pray with all kinds, manner of prayer. All manner or kinds of prayer. So we're always praying different types of prayer. And if we don't know the types of prayer, of course, it's hard for us to do that. We're going to learn that in our next session. Amen? But tonight, we need to look at the hindrances, things that might stop prayers from really taking a hold in the realm of the Spirit. And one of the things, too, you need to understand, I don't have every hindrance that there is. You know, I only have so many. So you may find out that there's more hindrances. You may find out, gee, there's, you know, maybe I have things that, you know, Pastor Susan didn't mention, so that's okay. I'm not perfect, and you out there, you may find some things, too. Now, we can't put all prayer in one category, as we've said before. And, for instance, here's an example. In sports games, many of you, and those of you watching or listening, you like sports. Baseball, basketball, football. They all have different rules, correct? But they're all sports. So, that's the same thing that happens with prayer. There is, prayer is prayer, okay? Talking to God, communicating with God. But there's different rules, different systems or different types of prayer that will work for different types of problems. And so we have to understand that. And one of the things that's misused a lot in the word, in the what I would say, in the realm of believers, all right, and believers that don't have a lot great knowledge of the Word of God, is a prayer where people say, if it's your will, Lord, if it's your will. Well, number one, we can know what God's will is once we go to the Word of God over a subject. And remember I said to you, faith comes when the will of God is known. So if you don't know that healing is for you, then you'll pray some dumb prayer like, if it's your will, Lord, you're going to heal my son. But that's, we know from the Word of God, it is God's will to heal. So the prayer that it says, if it's your will, has to do with a prayer of what's called consecration, and I'm going to talk about that tonight a little bit. You know, Jesus himself, he prayed, if it be your will, Lord, you know, take this cup from me. But that has to do with praying for the will of God to be done in your life. So it might be okay to say, Lord, is it your will to move to this state or to move to the, or stay where I am? I mean, that's a prayer where you can say, is it your will? But where it concerns the things that we know that God has said is his will, healing, prosperity, deliverance, salvation, which means all these areas, then to say, is it your will, is ridiculous, and it doesn't mean anything. So we're praying incorrectly, and that becomes a hindrance, because my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, the second area that we see in this particular scripture is fervency. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James 5:16. So the second area is fervent. And I said that the word fervent means white, hot, boiling over. I like that. White, hot, boiling over. You ever see when you cook water and it starts to boil, and if you forget about it, the pot, it starts to boil over on the stove? Well, this is the kind of prayer that in the book of James is being talked about here. This kind of hot, white hot, boiling over prayer, you know? And basically, I mean, you can't pray that over every situation. Of course not. As we're going to see as we go into types of prayer. But this is the kind of prayer I particularly like, because I knew when we begin to go into that realm of the Spirit with God, something begins to happen in the area of change in what you're praying about. And this is what most believers miss. They miss this fervency in their prayer life. They become complacent. They become bored. Or they just become a pew sitter or a church chair sitter, a synagogue sitter, whatever it is. They just do the prayer because I'm told to do it. It's unfortunate, but that's sometimes also what happens in the Jewish tradition. We have prayers, and I may be talking to you more about this in some coming sessions, but we have prayers that are told we pray over everything, over our meal, after our meal, when you wash your hands, when you put on clothes. I mean, but the reason for that is so that we remember God. And if you recall, when I talked to you about walking in the Spirit, the class Walking in the Spirit, we are to remember or practice the presence of God all the time because we have the Holy Spirit. And in Judaism, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit back then. They had a set of teachings that God gave them. And the reason they did all these things is to remember. Remember what he said and remember his promises. But after a while, what happens is people just memorize these things and it becomes ineffectual. And it's not fervent anymore. It becomes not white hot boiling over. It's just, gee, I got to do it now, so let me do my three times a day with God. And that's not good either. The effectual fervent, the fervency has to do with your spirit, soul, and body coming together as one in prayer. Now, these are some questions you can ask yourself when you're praying on your own or when you're praying in a group. Does your mind wander? Can you keep your mind focused? Does your body get tired? Sometimes when we start praying, your body decides it wants to sleep. Does your body decide it wants to eat? You start praying and seeking God, and you say, gee, I want to go to the refrigerator and get something, you know? And what's happening is you're being controlled not by your spirit, but by your flesh, by your soulish desires. And the Lord wants us to be able to live out of our spirits. And the only way we can do that is by practice. There is no other way. Okay, to be fervent also means you have to train and discipline yourself like an athlete. Just like an athlete. What do athletes do? They train all the time. I'm an ex-athlete, and I trained all the time. When I was a dancer, I was training 6 to 7 days a week, and it didn't bother me. And I took lots of classes, and it didn't make a difference for me. And so the thing is, we have to understand that when you want to become a prayer warrior, you have to train all the time. Not just once a week. You train every day. So by the time you go to a prayer session, when you get there, you're already ready. You don't have to get ready, okay? And that's something that you have to discipline yourself to do. You have to train yourself, train your mind to flow with your spirit. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 12. Now, how do you train your mind? Well, there's only one way to train your mind, and it has to do with the Word of God. And in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed with the renewing," or by the renewing of your mind. Okay, how do you renew your mind? You renew it with the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And then it says, renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, it says right here, the way you prove it is by renewing your mind with the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, then you can understand whether it's God's perfect will, God's acceptable will. Because, you know, it says right here that there are three wills, actually. Believe it or not, you can be in God's acceptable will, not His perfect will. What does that mean? Well, you might be doing, let's say you're in a ministry, okay? And let's say that you're working in the ministry and you're helping around. But really, the Lord wants you to do more. He wants you to be involved with children's church. But you don't really want to do that. You just kind of want to help, just be a helper. You know, well, wherever I'm needed, I'll Xerox stuff, or I'll clean. But you don't really want to teach because you don't think you're good enough. Well, you're now in God's acceptable will, but you're not in His perfect will. Okay? So that's a decision that has to do with our own personal self-will, which is a whole other teaching in itself. You know, not my will, Jesus, your will. I mean, that's the way we should be talking and living our life with the Lord. Okay. Now, let's see here where I want to go. There's so much I want to share with you on this, and I have to watch our time, and so I want to give you exactly what the Spirit of God wants to give you. Now, that's the key, even when you're teaching. You may have notes prepared, but you want to gear in. You want to give the people what is the Spirit of God saying for this particular time. You prepare, but you may not get every single thing in. That's how you get led out of your spirit. See, even when I'm teaching, I still have to hear from the Spirit of God while I'm doing this, while I'm giving it the information for video, for television, you know, for audio. What is the Spirit of God saying? I have to be sensitive to that because I don't know how many people are going to walk. Well, so I'm telling you right now that what happens is you have to be led by the Spirit in everything you're doing. And I will say this over and over again through the whole 12 weeks of all the teachings. Being led by the Spirit. That is a key. Now we're talking about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we went through effectual, we went through fervent. And so now what I want to do is go to the word righteous, okay? Now that's a teaching in itself, which I'm not doing today. And that's something you all should know about. What does the word righteous mean? Well, the word righteous really has to do with the Lord, Yeshua. I mean, He is our righteousness. We are not righteous in of ourselves. He has been made the righteousness for us. And you cannot pray. Now you need to really listen to what I'm saying. If you're watching my TV, you cannot prevail in prayer. Let me say it this way. You can pray, but you can't prevail in prayer if you always feel condemned. If every time you go to pray, you feel like you're not worth anything, you're no good, you will not prevail in prayer. It will bring defeat. Guilt, unworthiness, shame brings defeat in prayer. Okay? Now look at Romans 5. We're in the book of Romans. Let's look at Romans 5. And in verse 17. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus or Yeshua, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We are righteous because of the gift that God gave us, Yeshua. And that is how we are righteous. Now there's a very important scripture, and this is a memorization scripture. And we're going to go there. We're going to do 1 John 1, nine. You need to memorize this scripture because when you're praying, you need to know about God's forgiveness. And this is... And see, when you know, I'm teaching on prayer, but I tell you, it has so many aspects to prayer that if you don't know this, your prayers are hindered. So in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God for that scripture. The blood of Yeshua cleanses us from things that are not right. Now let's go to another scripture. Go to Psalm 34. And you're going to be getting a lot of scriptures in these two sessions. And if you're listening by tape or watching by tape, these things need to be gone over, over and over. But these are basic foundations. And there's a lot of scripture that you need to know. And how do we renew our mind? By the Word of God. So these scriptures are important. We may not memorize them all, but we need to have a knowledge of them. Psalm 34, and in verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. Out of how many troubles? Just two? Out of all. Every one of the troubles. All right? Proverbs 15. And if you're taking notes, you know, or if you're taking notes when you're watching, you may not want to look at every scripture, because if I'm going a little quicker, you just write the scripture down and look it up when you get home or when you review it. Proverbs chapter 15. And in verse 29. It says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Now this tells you that righteousness is very important. Okay, now, we have to come boldly to the throne. That's what the Bible says. Hebrews 4:16 tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now you can only come boldly to the throne if you are deliberately... I mean, if you are walking in righteousness and not deliberately sinning. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you're walking in disobedience, because basically sin is just what's called missing the mark. Let's say you know it's wrong for you to do something, but you do it anyway. Well, now you are walking in unrighteousness. And therefore, your prayers will be hindered. One scripture that is a memorization scripture, and let's look at that, which is very, very important in your walk with the Lord, not just in your prayer life, but in every single thing that you do. Matthew 6 and verse 33, and we're going to use that as a memorization scripture also. Matthew 6 and verse 33. And I think we should read this together. One, two, three, read. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay. Now you can actually put in there, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his way of doing and being right. God's way of doing and being right. So, when we are praying, I mean, God only holds you accountable for what you know. All right? What you don't know, God is not going to condemn you for. And God is never really condemning. He's the Spirit of God convicts. So what you don't know, and you may be doing something that, for instance, when I first came to the Lord, I had no idea about tithing. I didn't know that I was supposed to tithe. And it took me, I don't know, maybe it was about, I can't remember, a few months before I even learned it or somebody taught it. Of course, if you're never taught, how can you know? But I was hungry for the Lord, as many of you here that are in Watchman School of Prayer and those that are watching and hearing, you're hungry to know God more. I mean, the reason that we are hearing what we're hearing about prayer is because we want to know God. And the way you know God is through prayer and obedience. So during the time that I was praying to God and I was a baby in the Lord, God heard my prayers. I didn't know I was supposed to tithe. So he answered my prayers. But once I knew what I was supposed to do, I was supposed to tithe. Once I knew that, and let's just say for some reason I decided I'm not going to tithe, but I'm still praying and I'm still believing God for my answers to come, it's not going to happen. That's why many people say God doesn't answer prayer. But perhaps we need to find out, how are they really living? What is their lifestyle with God? You know, we don't really know. And it's not for us to judge. So, righteousness is a person who is willing to receive God's guidance and act on it. A person who is led by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, you really have no righteousness. Someone who is walking with the Lord, obeying His will, His commands. That's righteousness. And so we see how the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. You can be effectual and you can be fervent. In other words, you can know exactly what prayer to pray. You can have every scripture memorized, okay? Lots of people like that. You can be white hot, fervent, you know, oh yeah, I'm on fire for God. But yet, you're not righteous. In other words, you willfully disobey God in different areas. I mean, you may, maybe you're a young person, you don't obey your parents in the Lord. Well, if you don't obey your parents, you can't expect God to answer your prayers. I mean, there's many, many areas of obedience. So we have to see that you have to put all three together in order for that type of prayer to be answered. Now, I'm going to give you 19 other aspects of hindrances to prayer. Okay? And I'm going to kind of run through them. All right? So you just may want to make a little note. And these are, there's probably more than this, but this is what I have come up with. Hindrances to prayer. Number one, sin. We just talked about that. What is that? Missing the mark. Disobedience, okay? Not doing God's will. I mean, that's all part of sin. Let's look at a scripture. Proverbs 28. Now, I may look at some of these scriptures and others I may just give them to you, so you just want to write them down. And I only have like one or two scriptures maybe, or a few of each topic. There's many scriptures on this. I'm just giving you an example. Like if you ever wanted to do a study, you could take the word and you could do a whole study on one of these words. So in Proverbs 28 and in verse 13, it says, "He that covers his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy." Whoso covers his sins. In other words, if you are willfully doing something wrong, you're not going to prosper. That's in every area of your life. That includes your prayer life. It's very obvious. The second area of hindrance to prayer is lack of faith. And we talked about this already in some of the classes before. A lack of faith. Well, what is a lack of faith? Not believe in God. It's very simple. And what's the main scripture that we learn that we need to memorize? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? For he that comes to God must believe that he is. This is all part of a lack of faith. We also learned about when we have a lack of faith and we pray, one day we're up, one day we're down, and we pray double-minded. And what does it say in James 1:8? A double-minded person receives nothing from the Lord. So this is another area, lack of faith. Number three, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is definitely a hindrance to prayer. Let's look at Mark 11. Now, Mark 11 is a very famous chapter. We're going to look at verse 25 and 26. But this chapter, especially starting in verse 22, Jesus speaks to the disciples, telling them to have faith in God and telling them, with that kind of faith, you can move a mountain. If you speak, you can speak to it, etc., etc. And these are scriptures you should review. But we're looking at unforgiveness here. Verse 25 and 26 says, "When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." So unforgiveness for sure will hinder your prayers. And there's lots of people in the body of Messiah that have unforgiveness. And they want to know why their prayers are not answered. Well, here's one of the reasons. Number four, hindrance to prayer. Hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. It comes really, hardness of heart, from not obeying God over many years. And what happens is when you don't obey God over many years, your heart, it gets harder and harder, and like a crust comes over it. And it's much more difficult for you to yield to the deeper things of prayer. You almost can't even pray. You become insensitive and indifferent to God. Now that happens just by you not walking with the Lord on a daily basis. Now, how is that possible? Well, I'll tell you how that's possible. It's possible because what happens is you don't acknowledge God in your everyday life. In other words, you become so busy with your work schedule, your school schedule, your friend's schedule, whatever the schedule. And God takes a back seat. And then you just don't even realize He's taking a back seat. And little by little by little, your heart gets harder and harder and harder. And you become insensitive to the Spirit of God and to people around you and to even what's happening. This is why it's so important for us to practice the presence of God every day. Because when we don't do that, believe it or not, this creeps in little by little. And before you know it, it's 10 years down the road and you're hard. You don't even know how to pray anymore. Maybe you did pray a lot and maybe now you don't pray at all or you pray very little. So it's kind of just like I said before, it's like an athlete. You have to work your prayer muscles. You cannot let them slide. It's got to be a daily practice, okay? All right, number five. Another hindrance to prayer is our flesh. We know that Jesus said in Matthew 26, you can just write this down, verse 40 and 41, He said, could you not watch and pray? Remember when the disciples, they were, well, let's look at it. Let's look at Matthew 26 real brief. Matthew 26. And Jesus comes, verse 40, to the disciples and finds them asleep and says to Peter, what, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your flesh is going to give you fits all the time until you get to the point that you discipline your own body. You have to discipline your body. You have to make it do the opposite of what it's telling you it wants to do. If you want to lose weight, the best thing is close your mouth. Don't eat. You know? Or eat the right foods. You have to discipline your flesh. There is no other way. There is no microwave, instant, you know, how do I do this real fast? It doesn't work this way in the kingdom of God. You know, when we work all day and then we have to go to school, like we're sitting in school now, and our body says, gee, I want to rest. Now, I never use the word tired. I say rest. Well, body, you quote a scripture. As my day is, so shall my strength be. And you quote that so that you can do the next thing you have to do. You have a choice from your spirit. So you got to just work it out so that your body doesn't tell you what to do all the time. Number six, hindrance to prayer, uncontrolled mind. A mind that is not renewed with the Word of God, an uncontrolled mind. And we already looked at a scripture. Romans 12:2 is a very good scripture. And if you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. Okay, number seven, hindrance to prayer. Demonic spirits. Hallelujah. We'll be talking quite a bit about this in our sessions on spiritual warfare. But demonic spirits can hinder prayer. Now let's look at this very brief. Daniel chapter 10. If you've never read this in Daniel, you can read the whole account. It has to do with prayer, and his prayer was not answered. And in Daniel chapter 10, and in verse 12 and 13, actually actually, we see now in verse 12 and 13, the Lord is speaking to him, and really it's the angel that is speaking to him. And then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. This is the answer to his prayer. Ministering angel was sent to him. And then he says in verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So basically, this is, you can read the whole chapter. If you've never read this before, I suggest you read it. But basically, this tells you that there are demonic powers that will stop the answer to your prayers. We will be learning quite a lot about this because most of the body of believers knows nothing about it. I mean, they think Jesus did it all for us and we don't have to do anything but just sit back and it's all done. Well, that's not true. We have to fight the good fight of faith. And what are we fighting? We're fighting the demonic powers that are trying to stop the answer or the promises from being fulfilled in our life. And so that's another hindrance to prayer. You know, let's just go to Proverbs chapter 28 a minute. I know I already talked to you about hardness of heart, but I want to give you this scripture. I think it's real important that you see this. Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 14. Happy is the man that fears always. Fears who? Fears the Lord. Has reverence for the Lord. But he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. He that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. In other words, if you harden your heart, even if you're praying, it's not going to go in the right direction. Okay, number 8, hindrance to prayer. A lack of commitment. A lack of commitment. Let's look at Luke chapter 11. What are we supposed to be committed to? Committed to the Lord. Persistent. Faith in our prayers. Not giving up. Not thinking, oh, it's never going to happen. Luke chapter 11 and in verse 9 and 10. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. So we can see that if you have not gotten an answer to your prayers yet, keep praying. Keep knocking. Keep persisting. Don't stop. Don't stop. If somebody religious, and I might have said this to you before, tells you, oh, that's not having faith. Baloney. Give them this scripture. Jesus is telling us, Yeshua is telling us, we can keep going to him and asking and seeking and knocking. As long as we're going in faith. If we're not going in faith, we might as well not do it. Luke 18. We're still on lack of commitment. Luke 18. And in verse 1, the Lord is speaking a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always to pray and not to faint. Pastor Susan, how can I always pray? Again, I go back to, and for some reason tonight, the Holy Spirit keeps having me say this. So obviously, many of you here, many of you watching, need to hear what I'm saying. Practicing the presence of God. If you are not aware of the Holy Spirit in your life, all the time, you are going to faint. You are going to give up. You're going to be at your job, at your school, and some disaster will come or something will happen or somebody will bug you or bother you. And because you're not walking with the Lord on a regular basis, you're going to faint. Does that mean you're just going to fall out and faint? No. You're going to faint in your faith. You're not going to stand strong and you're not going to be victorious. And so we have to get it in us that The Spirit of God must be prevalent in our life all the time. I don't care what kind of job you have. You're flipping hamburgers, you're cleaning floors, if you're working on a computer, the Spirit of God must be alive all the time. You're doing construction, you are constantly acknowledging God, constantly seeking God. And so this is something that is a very big key to your success in prayer and your success in your life and your walk with the Lord. Number 9, hindrance to prayer. Being lukewarm for the Lord. Lukewarm love for the Lord. And let's go to the book of Revelations, and we probably all know this scripture. In Revelations chapter 3, Revelations chapter 3 and in verse 16. The Lord Yeshua is speaking, and he said, "So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." So what is he saying? He's basically saying here, I am just going to reject or spew you out of my mouth. It's like a saying, well, you're neither hot nor cold for me, you know? And then he says, it's better if you would have been hot or cold. But because you have apathy, you don't really care. You have an I don't care attitude. Unfortunately, we have many people like that. Many people in this region like that. They really don't care about God. And the way that that's going to change is by God finding a people, a remnant, that are willing to cry out to Him for their area, for their family. If you're watching, if you're in a place that's hard, like we are, you got to get a group together and start crying out to God. That's the only way revival will come. That's the only way something will change, is through prayer. There is no other way. Neglecting prayer, people become comfortable. So this is how they get lukewarm. All right? And again, they get perverted priorities. That's how they get lukewarm. You know, prayers of the lowest list. If you ever notice, in many congregations and churches, when they have a prayer meeting, they may have their regular service and they're packed out. Come to prayer meeting, there's just a handful of people. Well, you know what? That's the real church. That's the real synagogue. That's the real congregation. If I look at the congregation that we have that's near us, and they just talked about how they couldn't even get a minion is 10, to pray. Whoever comes, who that 10 is, that's the crux, that's the basis, the remnant that God is looking for. And that's all God needs. He doesn't need hundreds or thousands. He needs those that are the ones that effectual, fervent, righteous, and they're the ones that are going to pull it through. The rest are just lukewarm. And you're going to have lukewarm all the time. But you don't want to be lukewarm. You want to be the one that sets the standard and sets the pace, no matter how old or how young you are. Number 10, selfishness. Selfishness. Look at James 4. James chapter 4. We're talking about hindrances to prayer. And in verse 3. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. If you are praying a prayer that has to really only do with your own self. Now, I'm not saying you can't pray for God to give you a better job, clothes, you need a different place to live. No. But selfishness is when it gets to the point where you never think about anybody but yourself. You're just praying for your own needs and all your dreams and all your wishes. Well, it tells you here, it's not going to work. That's a hindrance to prayer. Number 11, disobedience. And we talked about that somewhat already before, but let's go to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. and in verse 19. Now, this is a really incredible scripture, which you don't hear preached on very much. It says, your own wickedness shall correct you, and your backsliding shall reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that my fear is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. Your own wickedness will correct you. I think it speaks for itself. Many people don't think that God will correct. Well, God, He doesn't punish, but because we don't obey what He says, it opens the door up for demonic forces to be involved in our life, our family, or whatever. And so our own disobedience, our own rebellion, our own wickedness corrects us. It opens the door for a problem or a situation to arise. Many times it even comes from generational curses that have been passed down. And so this is something that we can get over, and we can, of course, through the blood of Yeshua. But we must understand that obedience is one of the most important things. Isaiah 1, I'm not going to go there. Isaiah 1, 19 and 20, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you are not, you shall be devoured by the sword. And many times we are obedient, but we're not willing in our heart. And God looks for our heart. So we can be willing, oh yes, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to prayer school. But really inside, I'm really not willing to go. But I'm going because my mom wants me to go. Or I'm just giving you an example, you know. But we have to be willing. And sometimes we have to ask the Lord to help us to be willing, to be willing. That's a prayer. Make me willing to be willing, Lord. Amen? Number 12, idol worship. Idol worship can be anything. It can be a car, a job, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, okay? A husband, a wife, children. You could be idolizing something other than God. Remember, thou shalt have no other gods before me? Idol worship. Even you can even get a prophecy. I'm not going to go there because that's the whole of the teaching, but you can look at it. Ezekiel 14, 3 and 4 talks about how a prophet of God, a true prophet or prophetess, can actually give you a false prophecy based on what's in your heart, which is not coming from the Spirit of God. That's why if you don't really discern these things about the prophetic, which is a whole other teaching in itself, you could sit someplace and get all these words and it just be something that is coming out of your own heart. It's not something that's coming from the Spirit of God. And God will allow an actual prophet or prophetess to do that. You can read about that in that chapter. Okay, number 13. Strife. I tell you right now, let's go to James chapter 3. If you have this in your household, you better bind it up every day. If you're watching or you're listening, you better bind the spirit of strife up every single day. It will eat you lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It'll eat your finances. It will just devour you, and your prayers will not be answered. James chapter 3 and in verse 16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That is one of the largest hindrances to prayer. You could be praying for finances, and let's say a husband and wife are having difficulty, and you have arguments, your prayers are stopped because the strife has come in there. You will not, you could be tithing, you could be doing confessions, you could be doing all the things you're supposed to do, but you're fighting and you have strife. Forget it. It's going to stop the prayers from coming forth. Number 14 is pride. And we're right here in the book of James. So go to chapter 4. And in verse 6. But he gives more grace, wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's telling you right here, God will resist someone who's proud. So that means he'll resist your prayers. If you have a lot of pride, this and this. I'm not saying you don't need to feel righteous. Remember, you don't want to come saying, oh, I'm such a sinner, saved by grace. No, that's a bunch of baloney. The Bible does not say that. Yes, you were a sinner, but you are saved by grace, okay? And now you are walking, if you're obedient to God, in righteousness. But pride goes before a fall, it says in Proverbs. So we have to watch that we have a balance here, okay? Number 15, unthankfulness. Now that is a very heavy-duty subject also. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. If you want to read a good chapter about unthankfulness, you can read the whole chapter. We're going to look at verse 10 and 11. And the Lord is speaking here about the children of Israel. And he's recalling what happened to them. And he's warning you not to be like this. Verse 10, it says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Well, one of God's ways is to be thankful always. If you remember the children of Israel, they had just seen the Red Sea open up, and all of a sudden, a few days later, they didn't have any water, or they didn't have any something to eat, and they started murmuring, complaining, and they had just been in bondage for over 400 years. Wouldn't you be thankful that finally you got out of bondage, and now, all of a sudden, they don't have the right kind of food, and so they're not thankful. So unthankfulness can hinder your prayers. We talked about, and you can write this under unthankfulness, we already had this before, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, tells you to be thankful, and in prayer and supplication, when you make your request known to God, you be thankful when you do that. So you're already thanking God for the answer. See, when you request something to the Lord, you should be thanking Him for the answer before it comes. After you make your request, you say, thank you, Lord, I thank you for the answer now. Even though it may not be here yet. Because what is that? That's walking by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So this is a way of showing your faith. Number 16, wrong confessions. Wrong confessions. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And remember, I'm only giving you a few key verses. There's many more on these different hindrances to prayer, just to show you how they're listed in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 37. This is Yeshua speaking, for by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. What is he saying? Your death and life, we know, is in the power of the tongue, right? Proverbs 18:21. You know what? We need to make that a memorization scripture. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And you need to remember that. That is a very, very important verse. So if your confession yesterday was negative and today it's positive, you're going to be justified by the words that you're speaking, or condemned by the words that you're speaking. So your confessions have to do with answers of your prayers. You're believing for healing, you can't be confessing the opposite. You're believing for prosperity, you can't be confessing the opposite. And of course, there's huge, whole teachings that can be done on the power of the tongue. I mean, that's a whole thing in itself. And you have to get a hold of that. That's a very, very important subject that you must realize. And saying nothing doesn't help you either. If you confess nothing, you will get nothing. Number 17. Hindrance to prayer. Number 17. Not walking in the love of God. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. and in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The scripture also says, faith works by love. Now, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to not walk in the love of God, okay? But we also know that the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 in the same chapter says is the first thing is love. And the Bible says that faith works by love. So if we don't have the love in us, our faith is not going to work correctly. Amen? Okay, number 18. Husbands not honoring their wives. Now, of course, I'm going to have people say, well, what about the wives? What about the wives? Well, I don't have a scripture other than this scripture is kind of the only one that I have seen so far that talks about hindrances to prayer to husbands. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. I have to get there. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. If you don't honor your wife as a husband, the husband's prayers can be hindered. Amen? And what does honor mean? Respect her, revere her, and it should be vice versa. I mean, of course, that's a whole teaching about honoring each other as a husband and wife. But many times, husbands don't honor their wives, and therefore, they don't respect them. Sometimes their prayers are hindered because of that. Number 19, which is the last one I'm going to give you, is fear. Fear is a hindrance to prayer. And we did talk about that. And let's look at 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 18. There is no fear in love. And this goes along with walking in love of God. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment, he that fears is not made perfect in love. So when we have fear, it will hinder our prayers. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So now if you're dwelling in that place, what is that place? That's the place of God's love. You must believe that God loves you. Therefore, when you pray, you have the confidence that he's going to answer you because he loves you. If you have fear, then you can't really believe he loves you. See, that's the opposite. And remember that God spoke and he said many times, fear not. He told Joshua, fear not, be strong and courageous. And so in our prayer life, we must be strong and courageous. Joshua 1:9. We have to be just like Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Fear not, for I am with you. So God is with you wherever you go. Now these are just some of the hindrances to prayer, but it gives you an idea so you can scrutinize and take a look at, okay, is there areas maybe that I'm not right in and I need to kind of fix? And is there areas that I don't even understand or know about and I need to learn so that I don't have a hindrance in that area? Amen? I mean, none of us are perfect, but we try to be just like the Lord. So, there is no fear in perfect love. Amen? And God answers prayer. And so we're going to believe that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. And it's going to avail in your life and in your life out there in the video that's watching and on the audio. And we thank God for you and we bless you. Amen.